Let's head to Edmonton now. Maybe perhaps at the airport. A man who's been covering this series for ESPN, one of their analysts, longtime NHL goaltender and friend of the program, Brian Boucher, back
on. Boosh!
What's up, Brian? How are you?
Good morning, guys. No, not at the airport. I'm driving this series, just up and down Highway 2.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Old school.
That is old school. I like that. I like
now
that.
Now, you're not driving. Yeah. You have a driver, right?
Bob with shoes and drives you,
wrong.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah, Ron, driving myself. Got my own rental car. Yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to get in the car, you know, listen to some tunes and be in my own space. So, yeah, just driving down. We'll get down there at some point today. I don't know what time I'll leave. Maybe a little earlier now that I'm up a little early talking to you guys. But
nice.
Good to be with you. How you guys doing?
Well, we really appreciate you joining us, and maybe you can help us understand what this year's version of the Battle of Alberta has really been. I mean, we've listened to people, including, you know, Jamie McLennan on Overdrive, talk about, you know, he was in game two in Calgary and then game three in Edmonton, and just the incredible energy in both places that he felt with the fan bases and with the rivalry and stuff like that. Have you sensed the same feeling of emotions and energy, you know, in the games that you've covered so far, and what really is the 2022 Battle of Alberta?
Yeah, I think it's been awesome, to be honest with you. And look, I mean, I'm an American guy working for an American broadcast team that's covering a series that I think means a lot to Western Canadian people, you know, these Albertan people that, you know, this is something that they've been waiting a long time to happen again. And, you know, sometimes I think as Americans we can miss the mark on what's important to people here in Canada. It's, you know, it's important to the game is important to your country. It's important to the people of Alberta, but I'm enjoying every minute of it. It's not the war that perhaps we would have seen 30 plus years ago, but the energy that's between these two cities and these fan bases, it's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of. And I'm sure the true hockey fan in the States is really enjoying it as well. I mean, most people in the States probably are not fans of the Flames or the Oilers, but the fact that they're tuning in and watching this series, you could say it's probably been the best series so far. I mean, I think the Avalanche and Blues series has been full of twists and turns and, you know, subplots, obviously. But as far as, you know, just watching, pure greatness, I think we're getting it in this series with the way that McDavid and Draisaitl and Kane have played. And obviously, the fact that the Flames and Oilers got here in dramatic fashion makes it even better. But it's been a lot of fun to be a part of it. I think, although the Oilers have a 3-1 lead in this series, I get the sense that the Flames are going to go back home to Calgary and find a way to extend this series. I don't think we've seen the last of them, right? I'm just, you know, whatever's been thrown at us here in the first, you know, four games, I think there's more crazy stuff to happen. So looking forward to game five.
Brian Boucher is our guest, who's calling Flames and Oilers for ESPN, a longtime NHL goaltender. Brian, you played on some great teams throughout your career. You played against some great players. Put into perspective what you're seeing from McDavid and Draisaitl and Kane night after night. That line has been as good as we've seen in recent memory. What have your impressions been from watching these guys live?
Well, I mean, it's hard to describe what they're doing. I mean, McDavid plays on a level that, it's like when you're a kid and you haven't quite hit puberty yet, you know, and you're playing against a guy that's, you know, got a full beard and, you know, he just dominates you at the age of 13 years old. I feel like that's what you're dealing with, you know, at a professional level when you're watching Connor McDavid. I mean, and you don't see that at pro hockey ever. Like, it doesn't ever happen. I think the last time we saw it, was with Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, and the way he takes over a game is just, it's something to watch. And I think what stood out to me about the way McDavid has led his team is it's not just, we know he's got great speed and he's got great hands and all of that, but now it's about, like, you know, he's engaged in the game. He's not only taking hits, but he's giving hits. He's blocking shots. His 200-foot game has been there, and it's noticeable. It's not just a one-off. I mean, it's been almost every single game that he's done it. So it's unreal. I mean, the point total, that he had 2 points last night, and I actually thought it was – I was talking to Bob Beschusen last night, my play-by-play guy. And we're talking about it after. I said, boy, it actually felt like McDavid was a little quiet tonight. Like, he wasn't the same type of player, yet he walks out of there with 2 points. That's just the way he's playing, you know. And maybe it speaks to how great he was in some of those other games where he just was so amazing. But it's fun to watch. I mean, and now that I'm not playing anymore and I'm not in goal, I'm all for goal scoring and I'm all for the excitement. Back when I was playing, I would have said, you know what, let's shut this guy down and make sure the games are 1-0. But as a fan of the game, it's hard not to just really love to see what he's doing.
Well, speaking of a fan of the game, Boosh, I was talking earlier, just envisioning what a conference finals would look like if, you know, the series went a certain way. And I'm not jumping to conclusion because I know none of the series are over except for Tampa, who swept Florida. But could you imagine the conference finals that featured the headlines McDavid versus MacKinnon and Vasilevskiy versus Shesterkin? Mm.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, you talk about the matchups of top lines for Colorado versus, you know, Edmonton. It's, you know, two guys that I think a lot of people would have had debates about this a lot. Like, hey, who would you rather take? Would you rather have MacKinnon or would you rather have McDavid, right? And you can have these, you know, debates with buddies over a beer all day long. Well, you know, I think there's a chance we may get to see it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then you're right about the goaltending. Two of the best goaltenders in the game. And, you know, with Vasilevskiy, you know, I'm starting to think, like, is this guy the best goalie we've ever seen ever?
Like,
that's where my mind, that's where my mind is starting to go. I mean, I was a huge Patrick Waugh fan growing up. Like, Patrick was everything, right? And Dominik Hasek, I had such great respect for, and he changed the way we think about goaltending statistics, but I don't think I've ever seen a guy, I know I haven't, I've never seen a guy like Andrei Vasilevskiy ever. I mean, the size that he's got great size, great athleticism, and he's proving to be perhaps the most clutch goaltender we've ever seen. I mean, 6 shutouts in 7 clinching games.
Unbelievable.
199 saves and 200 shots. I mean, it's out of control what he's doing.
One of my favorite teams in my lifetime, Brian, were a team you were a part of in 2010, the Philadelphia Flyers, who were down 3-0 to the Boston Bruins in the second round, a series in which you were injured in, unfortunately. You guys storm back. You get to Game 7. You're down 3-0 in Game 7. You win the series. You go all the way to the Cup Final. Think about all the great players that were part of that team. Now, St. Louis is facing a 3-1 deficit. So is Calgary. Reflecting back on your own memories and your experiences coming back from insurmountable odds, what advice would you give those two teams who are down pretty in pretty deep holes at this point?
Well, you just got to win one game. I think that's the key. And you win one, and you plant the seed of doubt perhaps in the opponent, and you just want to get it back to. So, you know, in the case of Edmonton and Calgary series, you want to get it back to Edmonton. And then I think, you know, the pressure goes on the home team in Game 6 where, you know, now they got to try and wrap it up on home ice because they don't want to go back to Calgary for Game 7. So that's what you're looking to do, win one game. And I think, you know, for Daryl Sutter, he told us that yesterday. He's like, look, we just have to win a road game today. That's our only focus. And they didn't do it, although in the loss, you know, I feel like I left the game saying, I think Calgary did some good things in this game. And as I mentioned, like it wasn't like the McDavid show all night long and they had no answer. And Markstrom, I know Markstrom made a mistake on the first goal. It happened. But they battled back. They showed some resilience. Their power play scored. You know, I thought they kind of made some strides and made me believe that there's a chance. Now, if you go and win that game five and do it, you know, convincingly would be great. But even if not, you win the game, you give yourself a chance. And I think that's where your mindset has to be. But we'll see. I mean, this series, I can't speak for Colorado and St. Louis, but this series has been one that I thought going into it, Calgary had the clear advantage in several areas aside from McDavid and what he's been able to do. But now that we've kind of, after game two, everything kind of flipped, and it's just been so unpredictable at times that it's hard to put your finger on it, which has made it really exciting.
Bush, I know I teased what the conference finals could look like if the series went a certain way, but looking at the Carolina Rangers series, Rangers evened it up with a big win yesterday. It's a series that's been dominated by, you know, teams on home ice, but do you give an edge in a best 2 out of 3 on one of those two teams right now?
Well, if, you know, Carol, and I'll be honest with you, because that series is before us, I haven't watched it intently, just kind of casually, you know, as we get ready for our game. I mean, the fact that Carolina hasn't lost on home ice, that's a positive thing, but it's, some point something has to give, right? And it puts pressure on a group if that narrative is just like, oh, we can only win on home ice. Well, what if you don't win one of them? You know, then you're in trouble, you know? So I don't know. I haven't watched enough of that series to, you know, like to really understand what's going on. I've always been concerned about Antti Raanta. I mean, that's just me personally. It looks like he's played very well, but I sure wish if I was the Canes, we had Freddie Anderson to really know what's going on. Can he do it? Sure, he can do it. I mean, I think there's always, you know, I was part of situations when I played where I'm sure people didn't believe in me or my play, and yet I was able to win some series. We'll see. I mean, I Carolina was my pick to come out of the East before the playoffs started. I felt like they're a good team, but this is before what Tampa, you know, I'll say this, it's before Tampa did what they did to the Florida Panthers. I've since changed my tune a little bit. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on Carolina just because they haven't won on the road yet. And I think that can get in your head. And, what, you know, God forbid you don't win one of those home games. You know, the Rangers could be in a real good spot here.
There's a lot of talk about, you know, what the Tampa Bay Lightning could potentially accomplish. I believe they've won, 12 series in a row. In this streak that they're on. They're 17-0 after coming off of a loss in the playoffs in the last 3 years. The Vasilevskiy numbers speak for themselves. Do you think that they have the potential to do a three-peat and be the dynasty that most people want to see them put themselves in the conversation for?
I believe it now. Like I said, I wouldn't have said it before the playoffs. I thought, no way. In this day and age, can we see that? Like, it's just the teams are too good. I don't want to disrespect any of the other dynasties that won. And I don't know if we can consider Chicago in there because they didn't do three in a row. But, you know, like teams like the Islanders and the Oilers, it was such a different time back then. Mm. I feel like there was, you know, it was, you had some good teams. Don't get me wrong, but again, I think you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's just different today. You know, the parity now is greater now. I feel like this year there was a bit of a drop off after team, I don't know, maybe you could say team 16. I feel like there was a bottom half of the league during the regular season that wasn't as strong as others. But once you get inside the playoffs, anybody can beat anybody. And what Tampa did to Florida makes me believe that it can happen because they do have the best goaltender that I've ever seen play. And he's proving it at the most crucial time. And although he's not a Vezina Trophy finalist, you can't convince me that he's not the best goal in the NHL, period. So, yeah, it can be done. And you know, you're seeing guys just step up and play a game like Kucherov's elevated, and you know, a guy like Stamkos who's had so much adversity in his career with injuries and stuff, he seems to be healthy and playing with great jumps. So, and again, Brisebois did a great job of getting guys that seem to come in and help out, although they have to turn the page on some people and make some hard decisions. They continually find players that do a good job for them. Credit to their pro scouting staff and everybody in that organization. They all seem to rise to a level that other teams don't. And yeah, they could do it. Who knows? I mean, I think the hope is that the two teams that end up being out west just beat each other so much that they run out of gas, and maybe this sweep that the Lightning just had will give them a little bit of rest that they need that'll help them in the long run.
Well, if you don't run out of gas on your trip to Calgary up on Highway 2, thank you for getting up so early for us. What type of tunes are you going to be playing in the rental car on the way to Calgary today, Brian?
Yeah, I just got a playlist there that I put together there. It's a mixture of 80s, 90s, stuff that I like to put in there.
Classic rock? Stuff.
Yeah, some classic
rock.
Yeah,
buddy. That's me and Boosh, man. That's Blue it. Ice. That's our style.
Two peas in a pod.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Love that old classic rock. Love
yeah, it. The Brian Boucher Spotify playlist. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I couldn't tell you any of the new artists these days. I just simply go to all the old stuff. I like to, if I'm listening to a song, I want to be able to sing along. You know what I mean? Right. I don't want a song that I have no idea what the words are. So, you know.
You're not a fan of Jack Harlow, is what you're saying, Brian?
Never heard of him. Yeah. Never heard of him.
Yeah, you and Carlo the same. He's like probably the most popular artist on the planet.
Is that a guy on the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Jack Harlow?
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh,
Johnny Depp,
okay.
Who is in the news as well these days for different reasons. Yeah. Brian, thanks so much for getting up early for us. You and Bob are doing a great job on ESPN, and I would love to have you back on down the road. All right, thanks, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Boosh.
Brian Boucher. And I asked him for the 2010 Flyers. My favorite team ever.